Well, you're on the road to recovery now, Maria, aren't you? You're feeling a lot better, but it's been a bit tricky, hasn't it, over the last few years? When do you reckon it started?
I think I felt myself getting a bit lower in round about year seven, so about 4 or 5 years ago now. But I didn't really realise it was anything bad until year nine, probably.
Because I thought you were just being a moody teenager.
Yeah.
Like your two older sisters.
And I wasn't open about it with you, because, I don't know, just in our family we don't really talk about our emotions much. So, I don't know, I'd never really experienced something like that, and I didn't realise it was something that I should have spoken to you about. But
I think we were all very busy at that time as well, weren't we?
Yeah.
With Anna swimming and Amy's stuff, and we kind of expected you to get on with it, really, didn't we?
Mm.
There wasn't much time to talk.
No, but then when my school called you about self-harm, that they'd noticed, you didn't really do anything about it the first time, did you?
Well, the school seemed to have a handle on it and suggest counselling at school. Was that right? Seems a long time ago now.
Yeah, they...
they was that when they said to me, oh, all girls go through this stage?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And then it wasn't really something to be worried about.
Yeah, so but I kind of listened to them.
Yeah, which obviously it's always something to be worried about. And then a few months later, probably like 6 months later, they called you again because they'd seen more of it. And then...
Was that when I thought, right, there's something wrong?
Yeah.
And we got a...
Because it was just getting progressively worse whilst I wasn't getting any help for it. And then...
That's when we got some counselling, was that?
Yeah, just some, like, talking and...
Mm. How are you feeling at that point? Did you still just not really know?
I didn't really know what was going on, to be fair. Like, I just thought I was like any other teenager, just getting sad sometimes. Didn't think it was anything to be worried about.
I think I probably said the same to you.
Yeah.
You're a teenager, you're hormonal.
Was quite hard to
better soon.
Notice, especially with the people around me that were also like that and telling me that it wasn't something to be worried about. But it was.
And it wasn't getting any better.
No. And then I just, like, I don't really know when I realised that it wasn't normal, really. I think I only realised it when I was quite a way into my recovery.
Gosh, that's like quite a long time later, isn't it, Maria?
Yeah. So I had the counselling with a lady.
Yeah. She wasn't through CAMHS, was she? We thought that it was just somebody that was recommended to me.
Yeah. And it wasn't anything serious. It was just, like, talking and...
having a chat, really.
Yeah.
Did you think then that you something was wrong?
Or... Well, I knew something was wrong by that point.
Because
I was sad, like, all the time.
You're crying every day at school
by that point. And I kind of thought that was normal because I'd see a lot of people around me doing that, but...
Were you still self-harming at that point?
Yeah.
You were, weren't you?
I think I told you I stopped for a while and then...
Yeah, there was a bit of that, wasn't there? You told me stuff and at that point I'd gone from completely trusting what you'd said to actually I've got to look out a bit more carefully here because I think you wanted to reassure me and I wanted to be reassured.
Yeah, and also I'd try to not do it for like a month or something and then I'd tell you I'd stopped but then I'd do it like the next month
and then again. And then after about, how long were we with the counsellor, was it about?
Well, it wasn't really helping, was it? Because
no.
By that time it had gotten really bad and then it was just like low intensity, the things that we were doing in counselling. I wasn't on any medication or anything. I hadn't got involved with CAMHS or seen my doctor or anyone like that. But then we could kind of tell after like 8 months of that counselling, it wasn't really doing anything. And I was still in a really like dark place. And then we went to see the doctor, didn't we?
That was it. Oh, that was very sad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was like...
I think that was probably like the first time I proper opened up about everything.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Because when I was in counselling, I didn't tell the counsellor a lot of the things I was feeling. Like, I was experiencing, like, suicidal, like, ideation and that. But I never really told her that. And whenever she'd ask, I'd just, like, avoid the questions. But then the first time I really told anyone that is when I told the doctor. And then she
It was really real, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For me, anyway, it was like, ah.
Yeah, I remember you just broke down, didn't you?
I was really, really upset.
And then...
Because I couldn't... I tried everything to try and make it better, and it didn't. It wasn't working.
You still didn't really understand it by that point, I don't think.
I think you're probably right, looking back.
Yeah. And then she referred us to CAMHS, didn't she?
She did.
How long did we have to wait? Not too long.
We didn't have to wait too long. The GP was really good to get our first meeting with CAMHS. Yeah. And we met a psychiatrist. Yes. That's the ones that deals with the medication, yeah. Isn't it?
And she, what did she do? I don't remember it now. It's quite a long time ago.
Well, I think you were in a dark place as well, but they recommended medication straight away because there was going to be a wait.
How did you and Dad feel about that?
Ah, yeah, that's a good point. I think by that time I was like, I've got to just listen to the professionals here because...
You didn't want me to go on it because a lot of, like,
because you were 14. 13,
and also,
14?
You didn't understand... You didn't really understand what the medication was like, because a lot of old types of antidepressants make you get, like, dependent on them, and you weren't really informed about what they can do and, like, how they can help, and they don't actually have as many negative side effects as a lot of people think.
I was very, very worried that for one so young, yeah. we needed to depend on medication, but they reassured me that absolutely this was the right thing to do because the alternative would have been a lot worse.
So then when I went on medication, there was immediately there was a change in my mood, because nothing else had really helped before then, because I think, like, looking back on it now, I think there was something, like, chemically wrong in my brain, not just something that could be, like, spoken about, and
yes,
I think it was something deeper than that.
I think you've got to such a low level.
Yeah. So when I went on that medication, it was really helpful. Like, immediately I've just felt a lot better. Like, you remember that, like, when we were on holiday, when I first started taking the medication.
I do remember it was pretty marked.
Yeah.
The difference that it's just started to take the edge off it, didn't it?
Yeah, because you, like...
you engaged more.
Dad and my sisters, they were saying, like, it was kind of like the old me back again.
Yeah, and started to see you coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely after so long. And that made us realise, when you started taking medication and when we started to see the old you, or the new you or whatever... That's when we realised just how low you'd been for such a long period of time, and that it wasn't just becoming a teenager in hormones.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think, oh God, I wish I'd done this earlier.
Yeah.
Wish I'd got CAMHS involved earlier.
Because I could finally, like, feel happy again. Because when, like, I was in that place, like the dark place, like, the best things would happen, but you still wouldn't feel like anything about it. You still just not feel anything.
I remember you saying to me when we talked about suicide, and you said, "But Mum, it won't hurt, and I don't care because I won't be here."
Yeah, it's so strange looking back on how
so sad.
Like the ideas I had about it, and like how I saw like death and that. It's just changed so much now. And then once we'd done that. I was already feeling a lot better. Obviously, it wasn't just the fix. Like, I had to put a lot more work into, like, therapy.
When you say a lot better, I look at that time and I saw just the edge being taken off sufficiently for you to think about proper counselling under CAMHS.
Yeah.
Because what I see now is so different to what we saw on that holiday. You're so much more,
yeah,
you know, confident and happy to be, you know, anything you need to be, really.
So then a few months after that, I started...
the therapy.
Yeah, ACT therapy.
What's that stand for again?
Acceptance and commitment.
They took CAMS were really good. They took a long time to think about the type of therapy.
Because in
work.
The counselling that I'd had previously, that was a lot of
CBT,
cognitive behavioural therapy.
And it wasn't helpful.
And it was based on those ideas, and it wasn't really helpful because a lot of the ideas I was having were actually true. So I couldn't just challenge them and pretend they weren't true.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time they were. So in this one, it was more about just like having your problems and just realizing what's important to you and just focusing on that, which was a lot more helpful for me. And it was good that they didn't just offer me
you make that
more
sound
CBT.
So simple, but that was the hardest piece of work I
yeah,
think we'd ever done
it
together.
Was.
It was 45 minutes to get there and 45 minutes back were really...
It was good though, it was good having the time in the car.
To talk about what had happened and what was going to happen.
Got on McDonald's every time. and then...
So then you started the ACT.
Yeah, how long was I in it for?
The psychologist, was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the psychologist.
Clinical psychologist. And you, I think you did that for 6 to 9 weeks?
I think it was more like... No, it was a lot longer than that.
Was it?
A
16 weeks? I don't know now, but...
It was like 6 months or something.
But it was massively intensive, wasn't it? And the whole family were involved in terms of what you were telling us and what
yeah,
we needed to do differently.
You had to come into a lot of my sessions as well.
Yeah, which
and
I didn't like at first.
No, and like each session it would just take me a bit longer to like open up, like when I first went in. But then, like if I hadn't opened up to the psychologist, it really wouldn't have done anything, because like the first time I had counselling, I wasn't honest about how I was feeling, and that's probably the main reason it didn't work.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of being really honest about how bad you're feeling.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people don't know how to help you, do they?
It's not like the professionals can just like talk to you and then you'll be better, because you've got to put a lot more effort into it than you'd expect. Like it was really hard work, and I had to do like homework each week. And
yeah, I remember.
Didn't like it at the time, but
we encouraged you, didn't?
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's going to be really hard work if you want this to work.
It was very important that I did, because honestly, like I don't think I would have got anything out of that therapy if I didn't properly try.
And you did properly try. Do you remember? I had a session with the psychologist, and you, and I was really. I was really defensive.
Yeah, you didn't like it, did you?
Well, I thought she was almost taking the place of what I thought I should be.
Yeah.
But actually now I know.
You
what,
didn't
what,
like it
I
at
didn't
all.
Like it. I was really... I tried to be polite. I was polite, but...
Yeah. I
she was lovely.
You weren't liking it.
You could tell.
She was telling you like how some of the things you were doing weren't helpful, and just helping you like do things differently that would be beneficial to me.
Because I thought, having brought up two other daughters before you, you know, I was quite experienced and was doing quite a good job, but I think it brought home to me how different each individual is and they need different things.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. So I was good in the end, wasn't I?
Yeah. So when I was feeling really, really bad, it was so difficult just to not, like, you know,
do yourself in, Maria.
Yeah.
It was awful, wasn't it? I
so
was
obviously
so scared.
When it first started, like how I was coping, that was just with self-harm, which was obviously not a very good way of coping at all. But it was my way of coping at the time. Not that I recommend it, but
no.
But I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
But then when I started having counselling and that,
you found the language almost, didn't you?
Yeah, and it's so important, because they just told me that I need to like come out of my bedroom, because a lot of the time I'd be feeling like that, I would be in my bedroom at night, like just on my own crying in my room, and it's just like the worst environment to be in when you feel like that. So I just like come downstairs, make myself a cup of tea, just like watch a movie with you guys or
yeah. And there was the communication thing, wasn't there? It was like, yeah, I'm having a moment, family. So we knew to just literally drop everything and support it's you through
like
the crisis.
It's not like it fixed everything just doing that. But it like distracted me for long enough, so I didn't.
You learnt really that it passed.
Yeah, it did.
That was, I remember that now. That was a massive thing.
Like the feeling of like wanting to kill myself, it didn't just go away after a few minutes, it would. I'd be less like desperate. I'd like my emotions would be a lot more.
You drive the wave, calm. The urge.
Yeah, that's what
to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And it was nice for us to be involved in helping you ride that wave as well.
Because it does go like down after a while, but I would always think like, yes, it'll go down, but it's just gonna come up again.
Yeah.
And it did for a very long time. It just went up and down, up and down again.
Mm.
But it was always pretty low, obviously. But then, like, even
we had. Do you remember we had that?
Even if I like knew that it was going to go down, I'd still be wanting to kill myself because I knew it would just go up again, and I'd just feel like that again, and it wasn't going to go away for good. But obviously now it has, and then
yeah. So what do you think it was? I mean, we finished that psychologist course, didn't we? And then we did the.
Oh yeah, so once we finished the individual therapy,
they knew that you weren't quite ready to discharge.
Yeah, I was so scared of being discharged.
Because you had seen the light, as it were, you were getting better.
I was like terrified of just going back to where I was again, and not having like Kanza to support me. So then they offered me a group programme, which was really helpful, I think. And all the stuff we'd covered, like 90% of it, I'd done before in individual therapy, so I knew like most of the things they were saying, but it was still just helpful to have people there to
confirm.
Yeah, and it was really good for like
validate and all that business.
Consolidation.
Yeah.
The groups, what
was it chilled kids?
It was like,
I think it was the chilled kids program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are about four other people in it. It was run
it's a really
by
a small group.
Yeah, it was run by two psychologists. Well,
and all the children.
No, one psychologist and one mental health nurse.
And all the children had been suicidal or were suicidal.
Yeah, they were all in how like they were because obviously I'd had my individual therapy. They were like quite far behind me in my recovery.
Mm.
And it was quite like sad to see, but
yes,
it was also really good for me because I could see how far I come, because a lot of the time I'd like I wouldn't realise how far I had come, but when I'd actually come really really far, and it would just be so hard to notice that because I'd still be feeling really like down at times. But I just remember like the first time I realised I wasn't suicidal anymore.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Because we were in the car on the way back from a therapy appointment,
mm-hmm.
and it was like I was talking about my future. Because previously I wouldn't have been bothered about anything in my future. I'd just been like, well, it's not going to matter. I'm going to be dead in a few years anyway.
Yeah, I remember you talking very openly about that. It was heartbreaking.
But then I actually, like, properly imagined something in my future.
Mm.
And it was, I don't know, it was quite a good moment.
It was like, oh, I could get through.
Yeah, because I said it
you
and I was like, Mum, did you just hear that? Like, I actually just... But yeah, that was a really good thing.
I think I might have been leaping inside but trying to act cool on the outside.
Yeah, probably.
Do you remember the Chill Kids programme? They had the children in one room and then the mums in the other room. Or sometimes
the
dads.
The mums and the dads.
Oh, sometimes the mums and the dads, yeah. I wasn't expecting that, I must admit.
Yeah, you had to have your own therapy as well.
Yeah, it was. But it was interesting because I was further ahead than the parents as well.
Yeah.
And so I could see that their resistance to, you know, that kind of discussion, I could see that change over the kind of 6-7 weeks time period that we were doing that.
Yeah, you were so unhappy about having to go in there.
I was. Again, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to spread all my laundry in public, and
no.
I should be able to mother you properly, etc.
Especially in your generation, there's a lot of stigma
around
like having mental health difficulties. And obviously, I don't feel that as much because I'm in a different generation to you. But you didn't want other parents thinking, oh, she can't parent her daughter if her daughter's like that.
I think it's harsh, but it's true. I think you're right. I think, you know, how it reflects on you.
And it is quite a
as a mother and a family
which stops people from like recovering properly because they can't really accept it. And
I think you're right. I think for parents, I mean, when we think about, you know, the initial counsellor, you know, it was kind of a network of parents who didn't really want to talk openly about their children having problems, and this was a counsellor who kind of fitted into that.
Yeah, you didn't want anyone to know.
No, I felt it was our private business, but actually now I know, looking back, it was, you know, the more the merrier. What do they say? It takes a whole village to raise a child or something?
Yeah.
I think it's really
true. It definitely did. Like, there were so many people involved in my recovery. Like, I moved schools when I started my antidepressants, basically. A few months after.
Yeah. I mean, yours was, people are different, but your situation necessitated that, didn't it?
Yeah.
How do you think
they were really good about the stigma at that school. Like, there wasn't any stigma surrounding it, really.
It's a small school, I think you're lucky. How do you think we can get rid of this stigma?
I think it'll come with time, to be fair.
Yeah. But I mean, I've only told my closest friends now.
Yeah.
I still haven't told my wider circle, though.
Like, you can see how it's changed from my generation to your generation.
Massively.
And you can see all, like, the work that's been done to remove the stigma, but
it's working.
Just being open about it, because I'm very open about my difficulties now, because I do remember like feeling quite like I didn't want to tell anyone, because I didn't want anyone thinking I was like weird or, you know, like
that depressed
kid. Do you
think that came from potentially being brought up in a family that, well, we never talked like that, but you get the impression, don't you, that it's private kind of business, but actually that's not helpful, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
At all.
And it is really unhelpful in recovering, but I do think there'll be a long time before the stigma is completely gone. But just being open about it, your experiences, is quite an important thing, I think.
I think you've been incredible to be... Don't look like that. I do. I think you've been absolutely incredible and so brave to just, you know, enter into the therapy, like kind of throw yourself into it.
Yeah.
Talk to people about it. Talk to your friends about it. You know, you probably helped a few people
along
the way.
It was so important to have the people around me, though. Like, I was open with my mum, my family. A lot of my teachers at school were really, really helpful. And then a lot of my friends at the time, they were really supportive. They, like, sounds a bit cringe, but I couldn't really have done it without them. And, like, you can't do it on your own.
No.
Like, you have got to have support from other people.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
So, would you say you're on the way to recovery or recovered? What would you say you are now?
Well, I think I'm always going to be vulnerable to this type of thing.
But you've got the tools.
And I'm not going to be fixed forever. Or fixed, I say fixed.
What's fixed mean?
It's not a problem, is it? Like,
no,
it's normal. It's something everyone goes through, really.
I think once you know how to handle it, once you know what it is, how you handle it.
Now I know how to handle when I feel like this, or have like to have a depression. Like, if I do have one again, then I will know how to deal with it, and I don't think it'll like hit me as hard.
Do you think?
I have got like all the tools to like
help at.
Yeah.
But prevention is a thing, isn't it? Self-care and all that business.
That was a big part of the therapy as well, because it is really important that you take time to do the things that you enjoy and make you feel better. Like, now I do yoga and that.
Oh, I was told off for not modelling self-care
very
well.
I think it is very important that you model it for us. And like,
I think that was brought home to me.
Dad were both very, very busy at the time with work and that. And then you weren't really taking care of yourselves, and it is really important that you do as well, because it obviously had a massive effect on you.
Yeah.
And
it's, if you don't get an example, so we're pretty good now, aren't we? What do we do? I do yoga,
I do lots of colouring.
We do body balance together.
Last really go to the gym sometimes.
Got your nails done the other day, didn't we? And we just talk more, I think, don't we? We make more time for each other.
We're a lot more open. And now I've been through that kind of thing, you can kind of see, I can be more open about it, and I can be open if I'm having a bad week or something. And now you'll know what to do to help me.
Yeah.
Which is really, really helpful.
That makes me feel more confident in doing it in a way that would support you.
It must have had a really big effect on your emotional well-being.
I think as a mum, you've got to hold it together, because it would have been very easy to just fall apart.
But then it is important that you're not just acting like you don't have any emotions or anything.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And, you saw the first time with the doctors just how emotional I was.
I'd never really cry talking about this kind of thing. But then as soon as my mum would break down, I'd be gone.
And that's why it was important to me for you. I was upset about it, but to try and hold it together. But do you remember actually one thing we haven't said that's really important? Do you remember that the first time you went to the doctors about it?
Yeah.
You said in the car, no, you said a few months afterwards, you said, Mum, it was because you broke down like that, and said how you'd feel if I killed myself, that was what stopped me killing myself. It was something like that.
I don't think it was from that moment, because the thing that did stop me killing myself all along, it was just I knew how my family would feel.
Mm.
And you see it in movies or something when someone kills themselves and how it affects other people.
It must be devastating.
Yeah, and I didn't want you guys to go through that. And I think for a lot of people that is the main reason why
they don't.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that was the main reason all along. It wasn't just from them.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.